The question was asked about the prohibition of the use of marijuana. We'll get to this a little bit later, okay? We'll look at it later. So let's begin with a few points. It's usually good to, in education, it's usually good to draw the mark where you're headed and then work your way there. On certain issues, especially philosophical issues, even though on this point I would much rather build up to the point, being that I know that our listeners number tens of thousands, and some of them are children, so I have to begin with the end point, and please don't bounce on me. We'll talk and we'll get there. But you have to realize that being that there are children who are listening, so I have to make it clear that marijuana is prohibited. It's not something which a person can do. The Torah does not want us to do it, and we'll discuss why. Now, the reason I'm beginning with that is because we're going to discuss the different aspects of why people think maybe it's okay. And then we'll work towards our end. But I don't want someone to be confused because we're working our way there, that maybe there's good reason to say it's okay. So let's begin with, no, it's not what the Torah wants us to do. It is not correct according to a Torah lifestyle. You and I would both agree that if we could prove that marijuana were harmful to someone's health, then it's prohibited. Harmful beyond a certain point, right? People do eat sweets even though they're harmful to their health. People eat food coloring even though some of them have been proven to cause cancer. People eat food that has been sprayed with pesticides, even though we know it's not healthy. People eat tetrazine, even though we know that's cancer-causing. People do a lot of things. People breathe secondhand smoke, and no one says that's biblically prohibited. There is a certain area where we say once it crosses a certain threshold of danger, then it becomes suicidal, and then it becomes prohibited. So if we could prove that, then you'd agree with me it's prohibited, right? Okay, so that's step number one. We'll have to get back to that. Step number two, you'll agree with me that there are things that if they lead to something prohibited, then there's also room to say they're prohibited. For example, let's say they made valerian, you guys know what valerian is, right? Valium. Valium comes from the valerian root. So let's say they made valium to be like a sweet. But like a sweet that were addictive. That if you took one pill of Valium, you'd really, really want another one, and another one, and another one. And we all know that once you take beyond a certain point of Valium, a person goes to sleep and never wakes up again, right? So you'd agree with me that if it's so tempting to take another one, and another one, and another one, and we found that people who take one end up taking many and ultimately dying, you'd agree with me that we'd be correct in saying that taking one is also prohibited, right? Okay, so we've said two things so far. Number one, if we can prove it to be harmful to a person's health, you agree with me it's prohibited. Once it's harmful beyond a certain point. Number two, if it's been proven that the average person who takes one is ultimately going to take more or others that are harmful to his health, that's also a reason for it to be prohibited. Those are two reasonings. Let's say number three, we will not encompass the point completely tonight, but we'll at least see three points. Number three is there is a concept of a Torah lifestyle. There's a lifestyle that the Torah wants us to lead. And on one level, the Torah wants us to be holy people, which Nachmanides, in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, defines as within the letter of the law, a person can be a glutton. Person can wake up in the morning and have a hamburger and fries, and in the afternoon he can have a steak and fries, and at night he can sit down and drink wine and steak, and you tell him, you're a glutton, you're spending your life feasting, and he says, yeah, I know, it's yummy. And you say, it's wrong. He says, show me, where in the Torah does it say it's wrong? I'm eating kosher steak all day, I'm drinking kosher wine all day. So for that the Torah came and said, Kedoshim to you, be holy people. So on one level, there are things that are permitted, assuming we do not prove the first two points. We still have point number three, which is even if something is permitted, even if you won't accept point number one and point number two, we'll have to address on point number three, is this part of the holy way that God wants us to live? And again, that's a point that's going to be hard to prove. But let's move on to point number four. The Torah tells us if people have a son, if a couple have a son who is running after meat and running after wine, and they see that he has an insatiable appetite, he's stealing, and he has to have his volume of meat and fresh wine every day. So it can reach a point where they take him to the courts and they say, this son is a rebellious son, he's going to end up being a murderer. Look at the way he's going. Whatever we do, he doesn't listen. We hand him over to you, the courts. And the rest of the parasha is known. That parasha indicates to us that a person is not supposed to enter a state where he loses control, where his desires control him, what we would call addiction. Meaning, it's normal that we have desires, and it's normal that sometimes we satiate those desires. That's fine, so long as I'm in control. The second it enters a realm where I'm not in control, I'm like that child, must have his meat, must have his wine, and he will steal if he has to in order to get it. So then we've entered a realm that the Torah says is dangerous to society and is prohibited. So addiction is a word that's sometimes people get caught up with the semantics. I say, it's not addiction. Okay, but if a person's desires control them, so I don't want to use the word addiction. I would use the word addiction, but then I'm scared we'll get caught up on semantics. If a person's desires control them, then they have entered a state that the Torah prohibits, the state of this rebellious son. Do I need to say more? Okay, so it sounds like I haven't gotten to first base yet. I don't know what Rav Avadya Yosef says, but we could check. So let's go step by step. As far as the dangers of marijuana, I've read for the last decade and a half that marijuana is harmful to one's health. You disagree. Let's verify the facts.
It could be that what they were talking about, smoking.
Let's verify the facts. Let's check. So that's why I think that's reason number one, why I think that marijuana is prohibited. But I told you, at the very end, we'll add a point to placate everyone. Number two, I think it's been proven, like Baruch said earlier, that people who take marijuana, it's only a matter of time before they're attracted to move on to other drugs, which do ultimately kill them one way or another. I know that on this point also, people disagreed with me. I checked my facts. The statistics definitely indicate that way. And that's why I would compare it to a situation of a pill that's very tasty, and once you take one, you ultimately take another and another and another. You'll disagree with me. I think that if you check the statistics, he has a lot of experience. You have a lot of experience. I have no experience. I don't know. But what I've read, and I've read material that's printed also for educators. When I was an 8th grade teacher, I read up on this stuff. I had to know what my students were dealing with. But that's information from 10 years ago. I mean, I read up 2 years ago when guys started arguing with me on this point then. So I think that the research indicates that way. You disagree.
I would agree that in the situation we have today, that if someone's smoking pot, that they're likely to move on to other drugs, but not because of the pot, it's because of the people they're around. And if a kid has a little drink of beer with his dad, and his dad says it's okay, and he doesn't go hanging around people to sit on the corner and drink beer, likelihood he's going to get involved with other things is probably not so high.
How much do you want to bet? Come. That's a very good example.
Yeah.
Look up online the situation in America with regard to from Jews drinking. From children start drinking at the Shabbos morning Kiddush and Shul. They're not at a bar. They're sitting at Shabbos morning after Shul. They're serving whiskey and schnapps and beer. And you know that there's an epidemic today.
Epidemic.
Yeah. I'm saying, but take your example. You said if a child's father gives him a beer and doesn't take him to the bar and he doesn't have other people around him, that's not going to lead him to be an alcoholic. Here you have children, you have a generation, my generation, guys my age, a little bit younger, You're talking about people from their 20s to the 30s today, where you have an epidemic.
So why don't we prohibit alcohol?
We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Here in Israel, Baruch Hashem, we're there. In America, it's a problem. It's a social issue. But I'm just saying, your example is proof against you. Because take that example. I'm telling you a fact. There's an epidemic today going on in the from society. I don't know if you guys know about it.
Yes, I have a point about that.
I'm with you.
Just because they're in shul doesn't mean that it's in the kosher Torah way. And this is the same, this is just like assimilation. That's why they're going in. It doesn't, just because they started in shul and they drink with their father, it doesn't matter because they're in Brooklyn. And they're going to go to bars just because of the surroundings that they're in. But that doesn't prove at all what he was saying, which is if you do it appropriately, they'll be handled appropriately.
My friends all said they got their starts at the tefillin parties. At the tefillin parties, that's when it all started and it goes down.
Right. How religious were your friends?
Very from.
I've seen the best circles. I've seen it. What happens is, I'll tell you, I think the difference between me, what I'm saying, what you're saying is, you view it as an external influence. And I think that it's something that builds on itself. You enjoy drinking, it's good. You drink more. You enjoy drinking more. You look for other opportunities. You drink more. It grows on itself.
There's another point to be made, though. And that's... just because it could be compared to alcohol in some ways, such as addictiveness and things like that, it is a completely different drug, and it does have completely different effects, and I really don't think they can be compared to one another.
No problem. I was just saying that point as a comparison happens to be a point in the other direction. Okay.
I just want
to
make
a point
to
get back to
Torah.
I just
want to
say something about addiction is that... And addict comes from two things. It comes from trauma and it comes from genetics. So somebody who doesn't have those sort of two variables is not likely to become an addict. So alcohol, no matter how potent and addictive it is, without those two variables, the chances of him becoming addicted are very slim. That's just the bottom line.
I don't know. I think when a person enjoys something, then the nature is to want more.
For sure. And there's an instance of people, no matter how dire the consequences are, unable to stop. Those are the people, those two variables. The other people, when they have dire consequences, multiply through this.
If you say so, I don't know. Okay, I hear.
I've been working in this field for a while. 4 years, I'm saying, I know very well about this.
I'm not siding with you or him on this point. I just don't like your comparison to bring up the shuls, because the shuls that I've seen, and the circles that would be in these statistics, I wouldn't consider them, proper Torah worthy. You know, these are shuls where, I know tons of shuls where they'll, in the middle of davening, 20, 30 people will get up, and they'll go downstairs and they'll drink 3-4 shots of whiskey and come up rowdy, and they'll be the ones talking and making other people talk of this. You can't disprove his point by bringing up statistics from schools in America.
Okay, so Rav Moshe, the fourth point was the point from Rav Moshe.
Hey, hey, hey.
So we said its own harmful effects, the things that it can lead to, the holy lifestyle, that you can argue with me and I'll accept your argument. Because you can say that if a person every so often does it, that's not unholy, because it's only unholy if it's a... And the fourth point, though, about addiction, so again, I think that... I didn't want to use the word addiction, because I think you'll take me to task over that. So let's not say addiction, but when a person's desire is in control of himself.
I think anybody can be addicted to anything.
Right.
But that doesn't matter. You could be chocolate ice cream. They're addicted to it.
Could be, but certain things have greater tendency. Technically.
Rav Moshe declared it aser, yes or no?
As far as I know, Rav Moshe said it was prohibited.
Also the consequences.
But wait. I still want to tame everything we're saying. Okay. Meaning we gave four reasons why it would be prohibited. There was a fifth point, and that is a person has to think, and this is a more general point. There are points of what does God want of me in this world?
What is it?
Get high
of
it, right? Absolutely.
Meaning, it's legitimate for a person to go to sleep when he's depressed, not to sleep 10 hours extra a day, but he's tired, he's wiped, he's emotionally stressed, to go to sleep. There can even be times when a person needs a way out, and there are different ways in which a person can do that. A person can go for a walk. There are different pieces of advice that Chazal gave us about how a person should take a break from stress, and that's important. For a person to enter a realm where he's not in control, where call him a zombie, call him however you want, I'm not sure that that's what the Torah wanted us to do. It's an escape, which isn't necessarily bad, but it's an escape to a place where I'm not in control. Now, the Torah wanted us to be in control and do what's right. Sometimes being in control is I'm going to go on vacation, I'm going to go for a walk, I'm going to go away from my problems. To go into that place where I'm not in control, I'm not sure that's what Torah wanted us to do in general in life, as a thing that a person does. Now, I just want to tame everything I'm saying. Why is this issue such a bothersome issue to most people? Because it seems that today, at least in New York, the metropolitan area, there are very high percentages of people in all classes that are taking marijuana. And this isn't only people of the lower class, this is all over. And when a person is doing tshuva, so a person has to know that there's a question of what's right, where do I want to get to? And then there's a question of priorities. Meaning, even though technically I don't think it's right, and Yechezkel's right, I didn't want to quote Rav Moshe on it, but part of what I said is really quotes from Rav Moshe's tshuva as to why marijuana is prohibited. At the end of the day, we have to gauge things. If a person asks me, can I start? So my answer is no. But if a person comes to me and tells me, look, I'm contending with keeping Shabbos, I'm contending with eating kosher, I'm contending with parents who have disowned me, my parents tell me I'm crazy, I don't have any of my friends anymore, I've changed everything I do in my life, and you know what? I'm still taking marijuana, I haven't yet stopped. I'm not going to tell that person, you know, you should stop marijuana. I'm not going to add one more brick on his load. And that's where, even though technically yes, anyone that asks me, may I begin? The answer is no, you may not. But when someone comes to me and says to me, you know, I'm doing it already, it's part of my life, should I stop? So, yes, eventually you should stop. It's wrong. And don't make that eventually when you're 100 years old. Make it a doable goal. But at the same time, I'm not saying that's the first point a person should contend with. Just like when a person walks into Machon Meir, we don't tell him first thing, leave your girlfriend. We don't tell him that. He's going to walk out and leave us, right? He's going to say, I didn't ask you, goodbye. The halacha prohibits a boy touching a girl, it's prohibited. I mean, she's a nida and all that's biblical prohibitions. But still, when a person walks in, you don't throw at him all the books and tell him, well, this is prohibited, that's prohibited, the other things. You let a person go at his own pace. That's why you don't see me posting the signs about marijuana. You don't see me addressing this point usually. When people bring it up, I don't have a choice. But I also recognize that this is a point which at some point the person has to deal with. I'm not saying this is like a person taking a knife and slitting his wrist. Now, let's see how deep it goes. Let's see when I die. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it's as dangerous as other things. I think that the halachic grounds for saying it's prohibited are solid. We differ. Fine, we could differ on the point, but you asked me, so I'm telling you what I think. But I also think that in the order of where a person's contending with life, so we have to put things in perspective. And a person really should take counsel with someone that knows him as to when he should contend with which points. And this is a point which is very touchy for people, because as much as the people claim it's not addictive and it's not harmful and it's good for you, and I could tell you even more reasons why people have claimed over the years marijuana is a positive thing, it seems like it's something that's very hard to part with. Meaning, people who do it, what I've seen is this is a point, that's why people zoom over in their cars and argue with me, and people come in when they hear this is the topic going on, people just come in and start arguing. They don't want me to say the bottom line, it's wrong. And I've had people, when I said it was wrong about a half year ago or a year ago, you saw people getting up and walking out of the class in a fury. And these are people who listen to all the other classes, but they were just like, Rabbi, you don't have your facts right. No, it's not that way.
Can I
And I say, why are people so sensitive to the point?
It's a love affair. You have to understand, people can't let go of something because everything will let people down, and people have this idea that marijuana will never let me down. It's a sick thought. I'm saying, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that in the room.
I kind of noticed too that it's became like really interesting a lot of the topics last 5 minutes. We've been going over an hour.
Do you know the earliest halachic posek or whatever that actually commented on this? How far back? Because I mean, it's been around. Hemp's rope is it's not like
hemp
is been around 2,000 years.
It's
totally
different.
I don't know. If you want, we could look. We could get together maybe Sunday night or Monday night, Wednesday night.
I mean, I think for a lot of people. I think a lot of people, if they saw that 300 years ago a guy said it's prohibited, then they'd be a little bit more weighted because there's not so much controversy as it is today.
Yeah, but that doesn't work.
Right, there's room to say the other word. There's room to say the more information we have scientifically, the more accurate the response is going to be.
So that's my hope. I think I would.
It's just not having a Jewish
life. A lot of people say that the information that is out today is skewed. It's not scientific.
The question is, who is skewed? You understand? Everyone can point the thumb and say, you're skewed. I don't know.
We either talk about living a Jewish life or we're talking about, you know, living like a secular life. It's very simple. A Jewish life does not include getting high. It's just the bottom line. It's about family and Hashem. It's not about getting high.
That's an answer for you.
Okay. It's not about, it's not an answer for any Jewish
someone
life.
Asking 500
yeah, but
ago,
Baruch, you have to understand. Going from living a secular life to a Jewish life is building. You don't build a building in one day. And you can't throw a pile of bricks at someone and say, make a building. It doesn't work.
I don't think we're discussing that.
We are.
I'm
telling you, we are. It's not that.
No,
it's not enough a little while.
People in the class have been in Judaism for a while enough to know.
No, wait a minute. Jump back.
It's not that way. I'm telling you, we had students who were here. I don't want to say too much. I don't want people to know who we're talking about. But people who were here and keeping everything, and were very serious about keeping everything, and you're talking about people who I would feel very comfortable eating anything they serve me, and I trust them completely in everything they keep. But marijuana was a point they weren't yet ready to contend with. And just because a person's been keeping mitzvot for 5 years doesn't mean he's ready yet to contend with certain points. We don't understand how deep it runs because we don't have it. And I suspect that the reason it runs so deep is maybe because there is that point, we won't say the word addiction, but that point of the desire being more powerful than ourselves sometimes, meaning that the desire is defining us. Okay, we can disagree. So I disagree with him on a bunch of points, and I disagree with you on some points. We could all be friends. So, Yechezkel, on this point?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's two different issues, though. There's a difference between allowing someone to do something, say, can't give it up in the process of Lotshuva, but still saying it still is wrong, but. So just because you can let someone do it for whatever reason doesn't make it right. Like they tell, it used to be, if you start, don't start smoking, but if you start smoking and it's addictive, people can smoke. Now Rav and Yabrak did say smoking was wrong. So what I'm saying is, there's a difference between Bachachil and Bibiyevit. So,
right.
So I'm saying is, just allowing someone to continue smoking because they were about Tshuva.
I never said allowing. I said we don't necessarily bring up the point.
Bring up the point.
We don't. That's what I said. I wouldn't bring it up, and I wouldn't take it on head on. The question was asked. I'm not going to avoid it, but you don't see me bringing it up because I. Okay.
But if you have to answer, if it's halacha to be wrong, it's halacha to be wrong.
I think that was pretty clear.
Okay. As we go.
Okay, I want to deal with a different question that was asked online, because I think this question is relevant to everyone, and then we'll go on to other questions. I'll get to Yehuda.